Well, we certainly thank God today for salvation, for the love that He has loved and does love us with, and that each one of us can be partakers of that love and all have a full supply and not have to come up with less than what God has for us. So we thank the Lord for that this morning. We sang a song earlier, number 103, it said, "Keep on the firing line." And there was a part of a second verse that kind of interested me because it had a little to do with my burden for this morning. We've been speaking some about reverence in the Lord in our services. The Lord has given me some other thoughts, but maybe we will interspread those through the course of the months, weeks ahead. But today the Lord has a little burden for us that impressed us a while back. And this songwriter said in the 103rd, page 103, and down toward the middle ways of the second verse, "Life is but to labor for the master dear, help to banish evil and to spread good cheer." And that kind of went along with some of the burden I had this morning about the good news or the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what a blessing it is to have revealed from heaven to man good news. I think we're all interested in good news. And I enjoy hearing good news from my fellow man, family members. But do you know when the Lord comes down and spreads good cheer? That is really a special blessing. That is very noteworthy. I look at it this way. Sometimes what you or me may consider in ourselves good news might to the hearer be so-so news. But I think everything the Lord has to say to mankind, if we will hear and appreciate it, it's absolutely good news. It's for our benefit. It's for our health. It's for our soul. It's for eternity. It's for our family. It's for everything concerning us. It is interesting to note that God comes spreading good cheer and has good news to tell every one of us. I want to talk today about something that we all know has happened. Jesus Christ has come. And He was in the flesh, and He is the Word of God, the Son of God, the Lamb of God. He is the mediator of the new covenant. He is the one we live and breathe and have our being in. He is life. He is eternal life. He is hope. He is freedom. And I'd like to think about Jesus this morning for a little bit from the standpoint of why did He come? The Bible has a lot to say about why Jesus came. Did you know the world kind of sometimes, I believe, gets a misconception of why Jesus came? But you know, it was good news. The angels considered it good news. God considered it a good news. I believe when the angel spoke and said, "Peace on earth, goodwill to men," and announced the advent, the birth of Jesus Christ, at that point there was a multitude of the heavenly hosts singing and praising and worshiping God. So the fact that Jesus came to God is good news. We look at it sometimes as a human as it's a restrictive thing. But on the contrary, the fact that Jesus came is life, peace, and freedom, and joy, and righteousness. It is everything man truly needs to be happy in this life and inherit eternal life. So why did Jesus come? I'm so glad He did. Did you know Jesus came, and we'll go through quite a few scriptures, and we won't just elaborate, well, how the Lord leads us. I think about this. Jesus Christ came because He's interested in the quality of our life. Now, first thing we think about, maybe quality of life, is having everything I physically need. You know, the Lord told us very clearly, He said, life is more than food and raiment. And you know, sometimes as people in this whole world we live in, we equate joy and happiness with things that Jesus said life is more than that. I'm glad today the Lord came to give us that better portion, something better. Over in John 10 and 10, he talked about the enemy. He talked about how the enemy came to hurt you and me, and how the enemy came to steal, to kill, and destroy. He wasn't interested in life. He was interested in death. He was not interested in the deeper things, the more things, but he was interested in getting you and me to concentrate on the things of this world that are temporal and transitory and lose our souls. Jesus Christ, he said, I have come, 10 and 10 of John, I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundant. Thank the Lord this morning. God, through Christ, is definitely interested in life. He told him, I believe, when through Joshua, he said, choose life that you may live. The Lord did not take pleasure in the death of the wicked. The Lord does not take pleasure in death. God is a God of life this morning. Oh, that we may see that. And he said, I have come that they might have life. They might have it superior. They may have it surpassing. They may have it over and above what even we hoped for or dreamed of or wished for, and certainly more than this world can affords us. And I would ask me and you a question this morning. Could life be better for you? Could life have a superior quality to it for you? Do you feel this morning that life does not have that quality that we would call superior or call it surpassing what the estimation of man is? The Lord came. This is part of the reason why he came, that you and me might have life and have it more abundant. You and I know today that life has a force behind it. Life has a real power in it. And the will to live, the will to continue, the will to survive, the will to prosper or to live is extremely powerful. But we know this, physical life, because of sin, has its end in place. But I am glad that in life, while you and me are living today, Jesus Christ came. He came with good news for this life and in the life to come. We sing a song, life will end in joyful shouting. Isn't that a wonderful thought? Have you ever thought about the ending of our life? Did you know the Lord came to give us superior life? Something better than what the technology of the world can even give us? Something better than what we might envision for ourselves? And the songwriter got a hold of some of this, perhaps, when they said, life will end in joyful shouting. Aren't you glad this morning we can have that hope? I thought about it this way. It can either end in joyful praise and shouting. Paul said it this way, I have fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. He said he was willing and ready to be offered. He said it was a crown set before him, and not before him only, but for all those that love his appearing. Life can end with hope. Life can end with joy, because this morning Jesus Christ came. He came to give us something superior. Lord, help us today not to settle for inferior things, inferior quality of life, of joy, and of peace. To set our eyes on things that can never truly satisfy, can never bring us that we really want. And if it fails us, or it just kind of ebbs away, and things that maybe we thought were so precious and glorious only last for a season. We can accumulate, and after a while that accumulation's not enough. And we find ourselves saying more. We find ourselves wandering off from things that we maybe thought once were so important in the physical world. And we find that they don't hold the essence of life any longer, and we start saying more. I'm glad the Lord came to give us life, an abundant life, and joy that can be fulfilled. So life today, God sets before us life. He said, choose life. And he said, or I'm thinking this, that life can end in joyful shouting, or it can end in a bottomless abyss of despair, of grief, and eventually hell. And you know what? Good news today is God doesn't want us to go to hell. And he came that you might have life, that you might have eternal life. Over in John 3:15-17, why did Jesus come? Why did he come? Am I, are you today availing ourselves of the reason why he came? He came giving gifts, came bringing life. And too many people, and maybe all of us, the Bible said, had our conversations there at one time, we didn't avail ourselves of why Jesus came. But today, if you're not doing that, I'd like to encourage you to consider stopping that and avail yourself of life, of endless life, of an abundant life, and a superior life. Over in John 3:15-17, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. Hence the misconception has been proved wrong. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn you and me. Quite frankly, sin had already done a very good job of that. We were all guilty. We all were lost. We all were without hope. We all had nowhere to turn to. Jesus Christ did not come to carry us down further into that sin or into that guilt. But praise God, he came to lift us out of that guilt and deliver us from the bondage that every one of us have been in. But that the world through him might be saved. The devil, folks, is a liar. And he is a thief. And I want to promise you something. He's trying to steal from your heart and your life the reason why Jesus came. He's trying to steal from your understanding the blessings that accompany salvation. He is trying to bring guilt and condemnation as the reason why Jesus came. On the contrary, Jesus Christ came that we might live, that we might be saved from our sins, and that we might be free to love and serve him in holiness all the days of our life. The devil is a liar, folks. If you're listening to the devil, you're listening to a liar. When he comes and perches on our shoulder, he's lying to us. When he comes to make the news of Jesus Christ a hardship, he's lying to us. Jesus Christ is good news this morning. The gospel means good news. The angel said, good news, goodwill toward mankind. This morning, he came to give us life. You know why Jesus came? Because he loved you and me so intently, and I believe this, he had to come. I do not believe, based on the scriptures, for God so loved this world, so intently loved this world. The intensity of his love was so great that he had to send his Son. He could not withhold him. He saw you. He saw me. He saw our pain. He saw our woe. He saw our sin. He saw our death. And he loved us so he could not withhold his Son. He so loved us with an intensity. Does it not say in one place, the love of Christ constraineth us, draws us? Oh, praise the Lord this morning that God in heaven came because he had to come. I do not believe he could have said, I'm just not going to do it after all. But I believe he looked down and saw us in our woe, saw us in our terrible condition, and his love was so great, his love was so intense, that he This is a hypothetical conversation, but he looked to the son and he said, "My son, you've got to go. There's no other way." And I believe Jesus' love was so intense and so great that he could not have withheld himself. That love compelled him. Such love cannot be fathomed. It's deeper than the deepest, higher than the highest, but yet we can each one experience it. Could I tell it like it is? Could I tell you, could you tell me how great God's been to you? I don't think we can ever come to a verbal understanding of how great the love of God is. But I praise Him this morning, we each one can experience. I can know in my heart what it means. I'm saved. I'm alive. I have joy beyond all utterance. And it's not something that came verbally, but it's something that Jesus so loved me and you that He gave. God gave His only begotten Son. The intensity of that love, the compelling force of that love, the motivating power behind that love. And may I say this morning, His love was unwavering. He didn't stop because Pilate was going to crucify Him. He didn't stop because they were rejecting Him. He did not stop because of the obstacles presented to Him of the cross and an old cold tomb. But praise the Lord, His faith, or His love rather, was unwavering to usward. May we this morning rejoice in the good news. Why did Jesus come? Came to give us life, abundant life. He came because He loved us so very much, praise the Lord, that we might have, right here it tells us, everlasting life. Oh, praise God today that we don't have to settle for life today, and that's all there is. And we don't have to settle for getting our joy, if you will, or our satisfaction in this life. Praise the Lord, there's more to come. You heard the little story, whether it's true or not, I don't know, but it was a good story, about the lady when they went by and viewed her in the casket. She was holding a fork in her hand. Do you remember that little story? And someone said, "Why is the fork in grandmother's hand?" Well, the story went because when they had family dinners, family get-togethers, and they started cleaning off the plates, the table, grandmother or someone would say, "Keep your forks. The best is yet to come, the dessert." So they buried her with a fork in her hand, the story goes. The best is yet to come. May God help us to look beyond and see the abundance of God's love. How God so loved us that He cried for us to be with Him in paradise. He went beyond and He went to Gethsemane because He so loved us. "Father, what shall I say? Deliver me from this hour." Oh, but Father, but for this reason came I into the world. Nevertheless, not my will be done, but Thine. And God so loved us that He said, "It's my will, son, that you die for mankind that they may be saved." That does not sound like a harsh, evil taskmaster, does it? Praise God today for salvation. Paul said it this way, that Jesus came into the world, 1 Timothy 1 and 15, came into the world, came into existence as far as visibly seeing Him, came into this world to save sinners, of which I am chief. I heard a little thought one time, a good while back. Somebody said, "Well, God can save me because He's already saved the chief of sinners." I am so glad today, regardless of our station in sin, regardless of what we've done. Folks, don't let the devil lie to you. You can be saved today. Doesn't matter how many lies you've told. Oh, it may matter in many respects, but as far as the love of God being able to deliver you and save you and His love forgiving you and washing your darkness of sin away, that matters not. Pray He save the chief of sinners. You know why Jesus came? To save sinners. You know, that doesn't sound like someone that says you're bad or you're ugly and I want your life to be miserable. Oh, praise God. I'm so happy this morning that Jesus came with good news And Lord, help us today to avail ourselves of it. Lord, help us to let the Lord bless us. Have you ever tried to help somebody that didn't want help? Or have you ever tried to help someone in some way that argued with everything you did? Oh, I want to let the Lord bless me. I need the blessings of the Lord. Do you know He's trying so hard to bless us? And we get obstinate. We get our opinions. You know what we need to do more of? People do. They need to read more of the Word of God. Did you know the Word of God will set straight the lies of the devil? And it'll tell me right quick, Jesus loves me. And it'll tell me He came for my benefit and not to hurt me. He came to set me free and to set you free. It'll tell me why and the wherefores, the promises, the blessings, the opportunities, the power, the strength, the eternal life. It'll tell me of heaven. It'll tell me how to avoid hell. Oh, listen, don't count on this preacher to give you all the Word of God. I can give you only not even a teaspoon, a quarter teaspoon of it. Oh, examine it for yourself, the good news of why Jesus Christ came. Avail yourself of the good news. The Word was made flesh. Praise the Lord for that this morning. Over in Luke, the 5th chapter, maybe the 31st verse, Luke 5 and 31. Good news. Praise God for good news. Praise God for the love that we've been loved with. He said in 5 and 31, "They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." You know, sometimes the devil would like to think us we've been too bad or we're not good enough. Nope, none of us have been good enough. Jesus Christ didn't come to call the righteous. He said the well people, they don't need the physician. But they that are sick, those that have been captured, those that are in prison, those that are sad and lonely in sin, those who feel left out of God because of their life. And every one of us have been there. And He came to call sinners to repentance. Thank the Lord. You know, and again on this thought of condemnation, there is guilt and there is condemnation. No question about that. But that's not why Jesus came, as we read a while ago. The Word of God, the principle of holiness, of morality, and of righteousness. When we violate that, folks, God gave us a conscience, and we know that. And really, most of us don't need to be told that that's wrong. We know things are wrong. We know when we've transgressed. We know when we've stepped out of the order of the Lord. And you know who Jesus came for? That fella, that lady that made that misstep. He came to heal them. Came to make them well. Sin made all my life so bitter. Jesus makes it, how's that go? Whole? Sweet. Pure. Isn't that what God came for? I believe that with all my heart. Oh, let's enter into the good news today. You know, He said in one place, they're going to go leaping and shouting to Zion. Another place, He talks about our lives leaping like a harp, heart, a little deer. May the Lord help us this morning to grasp the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that we go leaping and shouting in our hearts, in our lives, rejoicing that the Lord has come. And He came to save me and deliver me and to help me, to heal me, to break the yoke that bound me for so long, destroy the works of the evil one. Oh, listen, you read the story of the children of Israel in Egypt. God worked mightily to break the yoke of Pharaoh on His people. He said, "Let my people go." That was the whole message Moses had. Let my people go. the message is still the same today. Let my people go. My people, the men, the women of the world, the people that are bound by Pharaoh, the devil, the message is still the same. Let my people go. God delivered them with a mighty hand. Do you think all those people in Egypt, Israelites, deserved God going to work for them that much? Do you think they were pious and righteous and holy and never did anything wrong? And God said, these people are so pure and perfect, I got to get them out of this evil place. No, folks, they were sinners and they were in need. And they had all, they probably, some of them worshiped idols for that matter. We don't know what all they did. But do you know what? They were His. And He reached down to them and He delivered them because He heard the cry of their oppression. May the Lord help us today. Cry out in your oppression to one who loves you. And He said He delivered them with a mighty hand, a strong hand. Thank God today. That's why Jesus came. He didn't come to make bitterness. He came to set us free. You know, in life we embitter ourselves. Oh, we blame it on how I was treated. We blame it on circumstances. But folks, the embitterness is in our heart. The anger, we direct it here and there at other things. But the anger is in our heart. Jealousies and envies, we place that out on what other people are trying to rob or steal from us. Taken captive by the devil. And that's me. And that's you. He came to set us free from envies and guilt of lust of the flesh and lust and the pride of life. He came to set us free from the anger that swells up in us. And you know what? Have you ever seen an angry person that's a happy person? I never have. I've been there and I wasn't happy. And I've seen other angry people. And if that's happiness, folks, I don't want it, do you? God came to make us happy. Deliver us. And set us free. Oh, the good news. The wonderful, powerful good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord for that. May the Lord help us to understand that. Over in Galatians, there's a scripture I want to read to pick up one word. Galatians 3 and 32. Galatians 3 and 32. Well, okay, let me turn over there. 3 and 23. 3 and 23. Okay, someone's going to have to help me again here. Said where the Lord had concluded them, the scripture said He had concluded them all under sin. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise of faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. You know what this word conclude alludes to in the Greek? It has to do with a large draft or catch of fish caught in a great net. And that's what Satan did to us. He let his net down and he captured us all. Praise the Lord, in Psalms it says the snare is broken. I'm glad today that that old net that was let down and it captured every man. Perhaps there's still one here today that's caught in that net. Someone here today is not enjoying the gospel of Jesus Christ. The good news is the snare has been broken. And if you're captured today, you can be set free. I enjoy fishing occasionally. And I catch my share of little ones. And I don't catch enough keepers. The other day I was fishing, I caught a little bass. All he wasn't a keeper. So I took the hook out of his mouth. He was caught. But I set him free. And when that little bass hit that water, his head went one way, his tail went another, and he was free. God wants to free us. And he didn't stand back up there and talk to me or try to say, "Now, what did you do?" He got away from me. He ran away, swam away. The Lord wants to set us free. The Lord wants us out of that old net. Today, if we are caught in that net, God has come. Jesus has come to set the captive free. And that old net can be described in so many ways. But it's a net. And it's a trap. And you know what happens to the fish caught in a net? They become dinner. They become death. Lord, help us today to recognize that Jesus Christ came, entered into this world, interested in bringing us an abundant life, and to save us from our enemies, and to save us from that means us harm. Today, the good news is we all can be free. I'd like for us to look over into Luke, the first chapter, and some praise and worship, I believe, by Zechariah concerning not only the birth of his son, but the advent of Jesus Christ. And listen to why Jesus came this morning. And please, consider well that you can have this, every one of us. That none of us have to be less than blessed. In Luke, the first chapter, and the 67th verse. And John the Baptist is speaking of his father, Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people." God has visited us, and he's still here, and he's still visiting. That's why he came. "And hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us." The good news. That doesn't sound like someone that is intent on making life miserable. But it seems like to me that's the message of goodness from God, who wants to set us free from everything that hates us. Did you know sin and living according to the flesh, Satan can disguise that so wonderfully in our mind. He can make sin become so lovely to look at, so exciting, seem like to enter in and enjoy its pleasures for a season. But he hates us. And he only does that for the same reason I put a certain bait on a fish hook, is to catch us and to kill us. The hand of the enemy is totally against us. God help us to understand that. I sometimes wonder about man. Do we really understand that there's someone that hates us? That there's someone that really wants to see us die? That there's someone that really wants us to go to hell? And he disguises those things that will take us there to where they seemingly seem so innocent or my right. He works in the emotions and the minds of people. And he presents ideas and he presents character traits to us that we sometimes enter into. They are there to kill us, to destroy us, because he hates us. We don't ever want to give the devil any good thing. We never want to say for a moment sin is not so bad. The Roman writer said that sin might be exceedingly sinful, that it might appear that way. And yet sometimes we get those little voices of death, and we hear them. Lord, help us not to listen to them and not to obey them. But we harbor something. We hold on to something. We think something. Something that it opposes God's truth, and yet we defend holding on to it. That's listening to the devil, to someone who hates us. I would not consciously, someone who came to me and he said, I hate you and I want you to die, and if I ever get a chance, I'm going to kill you. I would not want to trust that fellow with my life. I wouldn't want him to be, you don't see it much anymore, but I would not want him to be the traffic policeman at the intersection telling me it's okay, come on through. You know, I probably would stop, look, and listen quite a few times. But do you know that's what we do when we listen to the devil? He hates us, utterly hates us, and wants to kill us. And then he says, come on, it's okay, do this. It really doesn't make sense when we analyze it, does it? But we've all had our conversation there. And Jesus came, proved his love over and over again. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Took upon himself my sins and your sins and died on the cross. Went back to the Holy Father, sent us the Holy Ghost. All that Jesus did good for us, and then we don't want to trust him. We are a peculiar thing, this thing called man. We really got it all messed up somewhere down the road. I'm not speaking to you individually. The race of man, we got it messed up. And we learn to listen to the voice of the devil. And only by the grace of God and the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, is there an escape from that? And that's what he came for, to set us free. That the captive may go leaping and shouting to Zion. Zion, the kingdom of God, the place where God reigns. Let's read on. That we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us. To perform, for God to perform, the mercy promised to our Father, and to remember His holy covenant. Remember, God cannot lie. You remember He promised to Abraham and Abraham's seed, He'd make a great nation. And in Abraham, all the nations of the earth would be blessed and prosper. Those who entered into a covenant with God, as Abraham did. The oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him or God without fear. Praise God today. Did you know a sinner who has any idea of life and judgment, of life after death and of judgment to come, even in sin, there's the element of fear. You cannot get away from it, and thank God we can't. There is an element of fear in serving the devil. Fear of getting caught by our fellow man. Fear of going out and dying in that condition. And the fear of hell. God wants to come into my life and your life and free us that we can live in good conscience before God and before man, and that we can go out and serve God freely and one day go home to be with Him without fear of hell. That's what Christ came for. All the days of our life we may serve Him in holiness, 75th verse, and righteousness before Him all the days of our life. Serve Him without fear. Serve Him without dread. Serve Him without Him going to bring some kind of retribution upon us. Praise the Lord this morning for the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And thou, child, Jesus, shall be called the prophet of the highest. Or maybe he's speaking here of John the Baptist too. And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest. And thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way. to give knowledge of the salvation unto His people by the remission of sins. This is wonderful on God's behalf, that He wants you and me to have a knowledge of salvation. He doesn't want us steeped in ignorance. He doesn't want us... They came to, was it Peter, to some of the apostles, and said, "What must we do to be saved?" You know, the Lord wants us today to know what it's going to take. He wants you and me to know what's been provided for us. And you know what He wants us to do is accept the gift. That's really what God wants, is to accept what He's trying to give us. And may we today realize God wants us to know this thing, understand this. Through the tender mercies of our God, whereby the day star from on high hath visited us. Thank the Lord. Jesus Christ, the light of the world. And in Him was life. And in that life was light. Life was light. Jesus Christ came, the fullness of the Godhead. Jesus Christ came with all the tender mercies of God. That's why the angels rejoiced. They were not rejoicing because man had got caught in their sin. They were rejoicing because man could be freed from the sin. He could be freed from the guilt and the penalty of it. They were rejoicing because the accuser of the brethren had been cast down. They were rejoicing because the snare was about to be broken. For this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Praise God, Jesus Christ came for life today. Help us, please, Lord, help us to enter into life and not stay in a place that has nothing but death on it. Through the tender mercies of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness. You know, there's a saying in the world, and it's not a good saying, but it's still, people sometimes will see other people that have made bad mistakes. No question about it, made terrible choices. And this phrase will sometimes be said to that person or of that person who has made the wrong choice. They will say something like, "They made their own bed, let them lie in it." Aren't we glad this morning that God didn't say that? We better be careful, folks, how we judge one another. We better be so careful how we judge the calamity of another man. Sure, they brought it on themselves, but sure, we brought it on ourselves also. And had it not been for the mercy of God, which still, what if God had said, "Stan, you made your own bed, you get out of it if you can, you lie in it now." But that's not what He did. He came to me while I was a sinner and lost and helpless and no way out, and His light shone on me, and He told me that I could be saved. And He's telling you, you can be saved. Praise God, to give light to who? To the one that's not sick? To the one that's got all the brilliant light around him? No, to those who sit in darkness. You know, down through the history of America, we've had to institute some plans, government plans, to help people. There was a people that was kept in bondage in America, and they needed help to break out of the bondage. We needed help to break out of the bondage. We couldn't do it on our own, folks. So the next time we see someone downcast, let's not for a moment think, "Well, they made their own bed. Let them get out of it the best way they can." Folks, we'd still be lost and going to a devil's hell if God had taken that attitude toward us. We need to be merciful, even as our Father in heaven is merciful. And He caused the light to shine in the dark places. He caused that light to come down to where you and I were steeped in sin, taken captive at the will of the devil. And now that day star, that day stream, that great and holy, pure, loving God has shined in our life to give us a knowledge of salvation. that set in darkness, in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. There's where God wants to guide us, into the way of peace. The old psalm writer said, not going to study war no more. God wants you and me to take our old swords, weapons, spears, lay them on the altar of God and turn them into plowshares. Turn them into something productive. I'm so glad this morning that Jesus Christ has come. May we enter into it. May we receive it. Jesus told His disciples, come and dine. Jesus wants us to come and partake of why He came. The angels said, peace, peace, absence of warfare. Today is your heart and your mind struggling? Is there a conflict going on that you've been struggling with for a long time? I can tell you about myself. I had wars and I had conflicts. And I never won one of them. And I never could get rid of them. And every morning I'd get up and the battle would start all over again. By the time I went to bed that night, I had fought that battle and fought it and got beaten many, many times during that daytime. No peace. But did you know one day the Lord came to me and He saved my soul. And He broke the bonds of that strong man. And Jesus took me captive and He gave me peace where there would have been war, where there had been anger and prejudices, where there had been the works of the flesh. He gave me peace. The only way to know peace is to know the Prince of Peace. But how are we going to know Him if we run from Him? How are we going to know Him if we argue with Him? How are we going to know Him if we say, well, it's not for me? How are we going to know Him unless we become acquainted with Him through humbling ourselves and crying out for mercy and allowing Him to save our soul? We're looking, Paul said, through a glass darkly, speaking about maybe life and what is to come. But you know, a sinner is looking through a black, dark glass. And he's trying or she's trying to judge holy things, and they can't do it. The war is too great on the inside. There's too much turmoil, too much pain, too much whatever Satan has brought. Lord, help us today to be able to see clearly. Not to judge God and the truth and the good news from the standpoint of looking at it through the eyes of sin and arguing with it. But let's look at it through the eyes of hope. This is my way out. I believe the report. Therefore, I'm going to cry out to God. And I'm going to say, help my unbelief. But Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Peace, peace, glorious peace will come in. And what did He say here? That He would guide our feet in the way of peace. The Lord certainly has something good for you today. He has something good for me. And He sets before us, He said, an open door. And Jesus is that door. And no man, He said, can open it, and no man can shut it. And right now it's open. And no man can shut it. And you and I can enter in at that door. We can go in and out and find pasture, good pasture. We can go in and out and find peace. You and I can be unlocked from that great net that has reached down into this world and caught every man, woman, and child. You and I can see the way out. The snare is broken. It doesn't have the power it once had. So I thank God this morning for the good news. Now, the last question. What are we going to do with the good news? It's up to us. None of us can choose for the other how we're going to receive the good news. I'm either going to let it come into my heart in its fullness, or I'm going to try to weed some in and some out, or I'm going to reject it. But to those that received him, praise the Lord, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. You pray for me.